Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Y'all awake? It's good to be back. Hope you were blessed while I was gone. It's good to be missed. A lot of people said that they missed me, and now that's kind of nice to be missed. So it's good to be back with you. I can assure you that you are not missing anything in Orlando, Florida, except more heat and more humidity. I mean, that was the only thing that they had going on more than what we have going on up here in North Carolina. And quite frankly, when I got back, I didn't feel much difference between the two places. It's just hot. And it's going to be hot for the next few days if you've looked at the weather forecast. And so it's a joy to be back with you, to be in the pulpit and to preach on Father's Day of all days. And so with that in mind, I invite you to go ahead and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 gives us some of the advice, some of the counsel that Solomon received and is passing on to us regarding wisdom. But before we get into Proverbs chapter 4, I want to make a quick announcement that we didn't miss this morning. You know that Vacation Bible School is right around the corner, and there are postcards that are outside, I think on the table, the information table, and you're welcome to pick those up and distribute those to your neighbors and to your friends and family, whoever you may come into contact with. And so those are just an easy way for you to help us promote Vacation Bible School by passing out those little postcards, and it will have all the information on there that folks need for that wonderful event that we have each summer in so many churches. I had the privilege today to worship with my family at our home church at Bayleaf Baptist Church at the 8:30 service. And they had mentioned they had over 400 children come last week for Vacation Bible School. And one of the things that works in North Carolina when it comes to reaching kids is Vacation Bible School. Parents look for places to bring their kids and to let them be influenced and educated in that way. And so we're grateful for the church and having the Vacation Bible School ministry. And I hope you will plan on promoting that, being a part of it, praying for it, and encouraging others as you feel led of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4, I want to begin reading with verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 4, I'll begin reading with verse number 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. For when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments, and live. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time of worship that just set our hearts and minds on the cross. And God, apart from the cross, we have no forgiveness. Apart from the cross, we have no salvation. Apart from the cross, Lord, we remain in our guilt and in our sin. And it's only through the wonderful cross, and Lord, that's what we call it, because we know what the cross means for us as Christians. It's wonderful. And that wonderful cross that brought us reconciliation to you, that wonderful cross that brought us the forgiveness of our sins, that wonderful cross that purchased our salvation for us. We thank you that as reconciled men and women, reconciled teenagers and boys and girls, Lord, we have a relationship with you. We have right standing with you. And Father, that we can walk in your presence and know you, the living God. And so, Father, I ask that you would bless the time that we spend today in your word. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, whether you're a dad today, happy Father's Day. Whether you are a grandfather and have influence over your grandchildren, and some of you may be here and say, look, I really don't have the influence of a godly father in my children's lives at this point, or maybe you're in a different, unique situation. That's fine. I think all of these life situations can glean something from the Word of God. Because I hope it's your desire, whether as an uncle, as an aunt, as a grandparent, as a mom, as a dad, to influence children towards God and for Christ, that would be your purpose as people who have opportunity to point that next generation to the gospel and to point them to Christ and to show them the glory of the Lord Jesus. And so I hope the message will have application beyond just fathers, but we'll focus in on fathers today, and we'll focus in on these next few verses here. I think they're dads who want to deliver. I'm that kind of a dad. I want to deliver for my children. I want to come through for them. In fact, if you're a baseball fan, you watched in recent weeks that Steven Strasburg has come up from the minor leagues, and now he's pitching for the Washington Nationals. How many of you are baseball fans? Got a couple? Because otherwise, this is going downhill really quick. So we're a big baseball family, and we love baseball, and we have waited with anticipation for Strasburg. In fact, we were so disappointed that he didn't come straight out of college into the majors, but they sent him down to the minors to work a little bit on his pitching, and sure enough, he made his debut just a couple weeks ago. I think in his opening game, he had like 14 strikeouts, and then he had another game where he had like 11 or 12 strikeouts, and then most recently, I know he had 10 strikeouts. And so in the first three games of his major league career, he's had like 33 strikeouts. He's actually set the record for the most strikeouts by a pitcher to start off his major league career. I mean, this guy is delivering the goods. 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Sometimes 101, the count gets it. And then a changeup, this is just ridiculous, a changeup that's 90 miles an hour. I mean, that's tough to hit, and it's got movement on the ball. And I was watching him on SportsCenter the other night. I was like, wow, this is incredible. My son is a baseball player, and he loves to pitch. He's actually a pitcher for the Devil Rays. Not the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, but the Youngsville Devil Rays. And so he just finished up his baseball season, and they won the whole tournament. And he's won it 2 years in a row now on both of his teams. And so he's got his little trophy stacked up there on his dresser. He's eating that up. But he wants to be a pitcher who can deliver the ball over the plate. And it's that idea that, hey, let's come through. Let's deliver what we say we're going to deliver on. I think that's part of what it means to be a dad. It's part of what it means to be a faithful father, is that you deliver on what you say you're going to deliver on. And so here we have in Proverbs chapter 4, this desire on the part of Solomon to be a dad who delivers. He wants to be someone who delivers and passes on to the next generation the wisdom of Almighty God. So beginning here in chapter 4, and look at verse 1, and the text says this: "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father." I think number one, if you're taking notes today, dads that deliver instruct their children in God's wisdom. Dads that deliver instruct their children in God's wisdom. In other words, this father that we have here in chapter 4 and verse 1 is desiring to deliver something. He's desiring to pass on something, but not just anything. He wants to pass on that which he has learned himself at the feet of his father. And it's a beautiful picture of passing on this instruction and this wisdom from one generation to the next. So a father who is going to deliver this wisdom has to teach. Your life has to be a life that is a teaching life. That there are teachable moments and there are teachable times set aside, that you are intentional when it comes to teaching the next generation about the wisdom of God. So he says, hear. It's a command. It's what we say often to our children: listen up. Pay attention. This is important. I want you to get this. Now listen, there are all kinds of things that we want our children to get. We want them to get that the stove is hot and not to touch it. And we want them to get that going through the Walmart parking lot on a Saturday, you take your life into your own hands. I mean, it's dangerous place to be on a Saturday, right? My son right now is begging me to teach him how to throw a curveball. Well, he's 12 years old. I don't want to teach him how to throw a curveball just yet. You know, so I want to save his arm a little bit. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Teach me how to throw. Teach me how to catch. All those things. But listen, the most important thing that we teach them is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God comes from the Word of God. In other words, what we need to pour into them is what we ourselves are learning from the Scriptures, those things that we ourselves have been taught as we have been up to date with God through time in His Word and prayer and asking God to teach us and keep us instruction in the instruction of the Lord. So He says here, listen up, pay attention. It literally means this, to perceive it by the ear. Now, what does this imply, dads? What does this imply, granddad or uncle or whoever you may be in terms of influencing other children? It means you have to be saying something. You have to be putting something out there for them in order to hear it and receive it. So in other words, it's presuming that you are doing some intentional teaching. That you're asking them as you go through life. We went to go see the Karate Kid recently. I would recommend the movie to you wholeheartedly. It's a great family film, but there's some bullying that goes in on the movie. And my sons were there and after the movie. And I said, hey, did you think it was really a wise thing for the Karate Kid to dump that bucket of tar water upon those boys and make them mad? And they were like, no, Dad, I don't think so. And I said, why? Why? See, I want to use every moment that I can to teach my sons. And so we talked about how Proverbs says, you know, we shouldn't go around mocking and provoking people to anger. That's not a good thing for us to do. And we do that, why? Because of the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gives us in Scripture. And so there's opportunities for us to be teaching, but we have to be giving them this instruction of a father. And then it says, and give attention. That word literally means to heed it or to literally incline the ear. You've done this before, right? When you want to listen in for something and you do this, you cup your ear and you listen, you incline the ear. That's what he says. He says, look, hear this. Pay attention to this. Incline your ear to this. And here's the whole reason why, that you may know or you may gain understanding, wisdom. That's the whole purpose of a father imparting teaching to his children, is it so they get the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the knowledge of who God is and who in His glory He's called us to be as His children and to live wisely in this world based on the relationship and the knowledge that we have of Almighty God. We don't want our children just to grow up and to be streetwise. Though that's no problem, teaching your children how to be wise in terms of money and finances and those kinds of things, just to be wise like a street wise, that kind of thing. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about wisdom as it relates to God and how God gives wisdom to those who fear Him, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so it's important to know in this context what that looks like. He says that you may gain an understanding, that you may have wisdom. Why? Verse 2, here's the key. For I give you sound teaching. I'm not giving you garbage. I'm not giving you VH1, MTV, Dr. Phil, Oprah, all the stuff that's out there in the world. No, you're not getting that. You're getting instruction from God. You're getting the instruction of the Lord. You're getting a sound teaching. I'm giving you a sound teaching. And as that stands, don't abandon it, he says in verse 2. Don't forsake it. Don't leave my instruction. Now, you'll notice that word instruction there is literally the word for the law. It's Torah in Hebrew. So in other words, what he's saying is this. Hey, I'm giving you God's law. I'm giving you God's instruction. I am giving you the preciousness of Scripture for you to meditate on, for you to think on, to be instructed in. Now, I want to be really practical at this point and give you a help, a resource. And feel free to email me. You see my email there on the bulletin if you don't get this. But there's a book out by Bruce Ware. That's the author's name, Bruce Ware, W-A-R-E. He's a professor of theology at Southern Seminary. And he's written this book. It's called Big Truths for Young Hearts. big truths for young hearts. That would make a wonderful gift for you to give to maybe your children who have children and are struggling in terms of, hey, how do I instruct them? How do I train them? This would be a great gift for a dad or a mom or just any way you want to try to influence the next generation. What he's done is he's raised his girls. And as he raised them, he wrote down the things that he was teaching them from a theology standpoint, from a doctrinal standpoint. And so it's wonderful when you go through this book, and my boys and I have been working through it ourselves, and he explains to kids, you know, hey, here's the Trinity, here's sin, here's temptation, here's the church. I mean, he walks through all of the important doctrines that we believe, and he does it in a way that is encouraging, asks questions along the way, helps them to imagine different things with good illustrations. In other words, I didn't write the book. I'm not up here to plug it and make any money off of it at all. I'm just trying to help parents, maybe help some grandparents who are trying to influence. But see, it would be nothing for you to take open that book, and when your grandchild comes to visit, or when you have time with your kids and you say, hey, let's work through one of these each time you come, and just a couple of pages, and they have some questions at the end that help them to understand and make sure they're reflecting on what they're reading. It's a wonderful service. A wonderful service that he's given us. And so I just encourage you, if you need a resource like that that helps you, I'm always looking for help. Yes, I can open up the Bible and teach them the Bible, and I do that. But I also look for books and other parents have written and encouragement and help those devotional things come about. Because here's the goal here. If the goal is this. I, as a father, want to be the primary educator and influencer of my children. Let me say that again. I want to be the primary educator and influencer of my children. Listen, it is not the government's job to raise Andrew Heisler and Benjamin Heisler. My responsibility as a father is to raise them. Listen, it is not the school system's responsibility to raise my children. It's not the coach's responsibility to raise my children. I'll go so far as to say it this way. It's not the church's responsibility to raise my children. It's my responsibility, and it's your responsibility as a parent to raise your own children. Because all of those competing influences would love to pour in their own agenda and their own teaching and their own instruction. And listen, I love my children so much, I'm not going to give those other influences a chance, because I'm going to pour truth into them every chance that I get. And so we're to be the primary educators and influence of our children. We're to teach them, as Deuteronomy 8:3 says, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We teach our children by the way we eat, that we have to have food in order for our bodies to exist. And in the same way, we have to eat the spiritual food, the manna that God provides, in order for us to have a spiritual walk with God. Well, the second thing dads deliver, first was teaching and leading, instructing their children. And the second here is to lead. And if you'll look with me in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, skip down just a few verses. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many, for I have directed you in the way of wisdom. Notice he's on a journey here. He's directing. In the next verse, verse 11 says, I have led you in upright paths. So here's a direction in his way. Here's a leading in the path. Verse 12 says, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded. In other words, our children are pictured here on a journey. But they're never to be on that journey alone. They're always to have someone to guide them and to lead them. And so that's what he says here in verse 11. I've directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the upright path. So not only does a dad who delivers teach, but a dad who delivers must lead. And he must lead with his life to lead their children down righteous paths. Because Matthew 7:13 tells us, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And they need to see a mom and a dad. They need to see a grandfather, an aunt or uncle, whoever it may be, who is on this small path. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That you would pray to God and say, God, I want to walk for my children and my grandchildren. I want to walk on this narrow path so that they can see that it can be found, and they can know that it can be done. And by example, they can take me by the hand and they can walk with me on that journey. You have a responsibility, not just to teach and then to back away and go, oh, well, listen, that's what I'm going to teach you to do, but don't follow Dad. Because you really did. I can teach you what to do, but you can't follow me. Because where I go is not where I teach. See, that's not what God desires either. God says, look, if you're going to teach the wisdom that I'm going to give you in the Word of God, then listen, there's a commitment to walk in that wisdom. There's a commitment to walk in that path. And so here is this picture of a father who says, man, I'm directing you in this way of wisdom, but look, I am leading you, and I'm leading you in upright paths. I mean, listen, son. Listen, daughter, I want you to know there's a way in this world to walk. And it's a path. It's a journey. And I want your steps to be ordered. And I want you to be found faithful in God and to follow Him all the days of your life. And Dad and Mom and Grandpa and Grandma are going to do that as well, because we want you to be able to look with your eyes and see an example that you can follow. That's the power of leading. So the goal is for my children to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. For my children to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now, if a teaching must be listened to, right? If a teaching must be heard, an example must be seen. Which means what? Which means we have to be around for them to see it. We have to be around for them to be impacted by it. And so the important teaching here is this. You can teach and they can hear it, but they don't necessarily see it unless you're what? Unless you're leading. And so this idea of seeing, let me give you a couple of real practical things. Let your kids catch you having your quiet time. This really hit home on me when I was a younger dad. And I would have my quiet time. How many of you are morning people like me? You get up real early in the morning, right? Oh, wow. Everybody's a night owl in this church. Okay, so y'all are up really late while I'm asleep. You know, but I would get up real early, and I would spend time in prayer, have my Bible open, read that Bible, you know, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, the kids would get up at 8, 8:30, you know, and then start mingling around and stuff. And it dawned on me that I don't think my children have ever seen me with a Bible open in my lap, reading, having my quiet time. And so you know what I did? I intentionally started having my quiet time a little bit later so that when they would start mingling around and coming downstairs and say, hey, Dad, good morning, how are you doing? And they would see my Bible and they'd go, hey, what you reading? I was having my quiet time today. And then as I got older, I said, have you had yours? Why? Well, because Dad's having his. I was leading them by example. I'll tell you another thing that will help your children out immensely is letting them see you write a tithe check to the church. I'm just being real practical here for a few minutes, and so bear with me. But just let them see you. Hey, what's that? Oh, that's the tithe that we give to the church. You want to be the one that puts it in the offering plate? Yeah, I want to do that. Oh, we do that every month. You see, you could go for years giving, and your kids would never know, your grandkids would never know. What's that envelope that you put in at church every week? What is that? So, oh, that's called our tithe. See, you let them see you by example. I remember when I was a pastor and I used to take the boys when they were a little bit older with me on visitation, and I would go out and I would take out a tract or an evangel cube and I would share the gospel. And what was I doing? I was doing that because I wanted to see that person come to faith in Christ. But you know what else I was doing? I was letting my children see by example how you go about sharing the gospel. Here's how we explain it. Here's how we do it. And if we're always leaving them at home and we never take them to the hospital and we never take them with us on visitation, I mean, those are missed opportunities that we have to lead our children by example. And so let me just encourage you as a dad to be an example and to let them see it so that they can visualize what it looks like. Well, the third one, dads that deliver warn their children. That's in verse 14. Dads that deliver warn their children. You got to teach them, you got to lead them, but then you also must be willing to warn them. Verse 14 says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Watch out. Danger." And as a dad, you've got to be willing to say that. You've got to be willing to step up to the plate and say, "Hey, no, we're not doing that. That's wrong, that's bad, that's sinful, that's evil." And we don't let them go out on some kind of a self-discovery process. And so, let's see if this will be dangerous. You know, let's see if this is going to hurt. Let's, play with loaded guns and see what that's like. No, we're going to warn them. And we're going to tell them that there's evil and that there's danger in the world and that they need to be on their guard because there is a force in the world that wants to take them off that path that they're to be walking on. And so we warn them and we say, "Look, there's a danger here. There's a negative here. There's things like alcohol and there's things like pornography and there's things out there that are evil and wicked and that you need to stay on your guard against them and help them to know what it is and to recognize what it is and to say, that's enough." We're going through that with our children right now in terms of what they watch content-wise. And the other day, my son, he started to watch a show. He's 12. And about halfway through, he turned it off and he came walking out. And we were like, "Hey, what was wrong with the show?" And he said, "Well, they just started using some language that really I wasn't comfortable with. And there was a couple of things in there that I just didn't want to watch it." And I was like, "Yes, yes, he's getting it. He's learning that there are some things entertainment-wise that are just a waste of time and a waste of money and a waste of our own purity when it comes to that." And I was just like, "Yeah, he's getting it." You know, and that only comes by what? By training and patiently warning them and saying, "Guys, look, this isn't good for you. And you need to be willing to do that as a dad who delivered." Now, this is my goal here. My goal is for this to happen. That my children will never say to me, "Dad, why didn't you warn me? Dad, why didn't you warn me about that? Why didn't you tell me about that?" See, I want to be a dad who warns his children, is transparent with his children, and says, "Look, guys, there's a danger." The last one, a dad that delivers, is that they're found there in verse 23, but we'll read in verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 20, a dad that delivers, not only does he teach, not only does he lead, not only does he warn, but here, beginning in verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words." He says it again. "Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Listen to this. "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." It's a call to purity. It's a challenge. A dad that delivers is willing to challenge his children to walk in purity, to raise the level and raise the standard of that righteousness by which they are to be following God and pursuing Christ with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he comes along and he says, "Watch over." The word means literally to keep presence or guard over your heart. Stand watch, stand guard, keep watch over it. Why? Because from it will flow the springs of life. Listen, Jesus said it this way in John 7:38. He says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That their heart is the doorkeeper, if you will, for the rest of their life and everything they're going to experience. And so, guys, listen, you need to protect your heart. You need to watch over your soul, because that is where the issues of life spring from. Live pure in a polluted world. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus says in Matthew 5:8, for they will see God. And my goal here is simply this, that my children walk with a pure heart before our holy God. You would ask me this question straight up. What do you want your kids to do when they grow up? Do you want one of them to be a preacher? No. Unless God calls them to do it. They'd be crazy to try to do it. You say, well, what do you want them to be? You want Andrew to be a next Steven Strasburg? That'd be all right, but no, that's okay. No. You say, hi, sir, what's the bottom line for your boys? That they would walk with God all their days with a pure heart. Hey, the rest after that's gravy. If they would just walk with God with a pure heart, as a father, I don't think I could ask for anything else. That's what it's about. And listen, I have them for such a limited time. I mean, my son's 12, and the other day he asked me about a car. I'm like, what? He asked me if the Camry would, you know, which has like 120,000 miles on it. He says, you know, is that the car I'm going to get? And I'm like, it is a Toyota before they were, like, not good. So, you know, who knows? But I'm just like, wow, 12. And before you know it, they'll be 15. And before you know it, they'll be 18. And then they'll be, you know, off, gone. I mean, it goes by so fast. And let me just implore you, take every moment that you have and invest it. Man, be strategic about it. Be intentional about it. Say, I'm going to do something with those kids today, and we're going to do something fun, and we're going to make a memory today. And that'd be expensive to do those kinds of things. But I'm telling you what, those kids will never forget those moments, those instructive moments, those fun moments as you lead them. But I know in a service like this today, there's some people who are saying, you know, that all sounds good and well, but what about those of us who maybe didn't have a father? Well, there's an article that I wrote. I pulled out of a magazine. I didn't write this. And it was a magazine article that was about that very issue. You know, what if you don't have the influence of a father in your life? And I just want to read it to you because it's so powerful. And we'll end with this. I remember the day that my dad left. He knelt and he hugged me and he cried. The skimpy dress of a 5-year-old girl could not protect me from the chill that had gathered around my arms and legs. The scratchy, tickly whiskers, would I feel them no more? The arms that felt so safe, would they be gone forever? What would it be like to not have a father? Well, the years to come provided harsh answers to those questions. Mine was not a carefree childhood, shuffled with two brothers between foster home and relatives, and when things worked out, my mother. I toughed out the tough times. My innocence gave way early on to a cynic's worldview. Don't depend on anyone, and no one will disappoint you. As we approach the celebration of Father's Day this year, anyone without a father will understand that the loss doesn't end when you grow up. The scars are like the glossy, too tight skin that grows over a deep wound. Beneath the protective cover lies too much tenderness. But how ready was I the moment I first understood that God was my father? At last, I was someone's little girl. And to this day, 10 years later, I cannot approach God intellectually, but only as a child and with no reservations. I feel such love. Psalm 27 verse 10 says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Is it not a miracle that someone who missed an earthly father's love can be healed to receive the love of the Heavenly Father? But isn't that because He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals? Isn't it the greatest privilege of all to call Him Abba, Father? I remember once before He left, my father carrying me home in his arms as blood gushed from a jagged cut on my foot. I was 4 and I was frightened, hoping that my father could take care of me. But though that day he stopped the bleeding, no earthly father could have healed the wounded heart he later left behind. That hurt cried out for the love of a heavenly father. And so I will always be God's grateful little girl, trusting, dependent, and filled with faith in the arms that will never let me go. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can call you Father. And Lord, there's no doubt that earthly fathers, human fathers, have disappointed, even failed. But yet, God, we can come to you, our Heavenly Father, and we can see in you what true fatherhood is, that you never forsake us, that you never fail us, that indeed in your arms we are secure. And maybe today it's Lord, coming face to face with the reality that everything that we have become resentful and angry about over our earthly fathers, Lord, we need to find in you a way to forgive and a way to move on. And so, Lord, I pray that you would make your peace present in this place for any and all who are struggling on a day like Father's Day because of the father they grew up with. Lord, there may be others whose dads, they've just been challenged to teach and to lead and to warn and to challenge. And God, they're just coming to you for wisdom today and saying, Lord, help me to be the kind of father you want me to be. Dad, take this opportunity to come and pray for your children. Lift them up before the Lord. Pray for your grandchildren. And most of all, look inside your own heart and ask this question so important on Father's Day. Are you truly following Christ? Are you truly following Jesus Christ? And if you're not, what a greater day than today to become a believer on Father's Day, to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, to believe that your sins have separated you from God, that Christ, that wonderful cross we sang about, is the only way of forgiveness, to believe that he was raised from the dead, showing himself to be Lord and God. If you'll turn from your sins and confess him as Savior, the Bible says you'll believe and be saved. If you've never done that today, what better day than for a new dad to come home into his family? Lord, we pray that you would move by your Holy Spirit, that you would show us exactly where we need to influence this next generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet as we sing our hymn of invitation today.